We developed some tools. Okay. We have the tangent cone, and we have the climatic conditions for the tangent cone. And then we consider first order approximations of the constraining functions, which lead us to define these two cones. Okay? These two linearizing cones. And we have seen that the tangent cone is in a cage between the two of them. Okay? One is an inner approximation, and the other one is an outer approximation. Okay? And the difference between the two is just on the sign of the day inequalities. Strict inequalities, standard inequalities, lesser equal. And we have seen that this can never be equal. This may be equal, but maybe not as well. Okay. I want to use these ideas to develop optimality conditions which get completely rid of the tangent cone. Okay? I want to give you optimality conditions where the only thing you have are functions. Okay? So, functions which are the data of the problem, the function you want to minimize it, and the function which describe the constraint. Let me write this thing once again. This is the optimality condition. Okay, written as we know it. Okay. I mean, I know this is obvious, but this can equivalently be written in the following way. There is no clear to you? There exists no D in the tangent cone such that the scalar product is negative. Okay, our teacher told us something which is really, really stupid. Okay? It is obvious. Why is he doing this? We know that, okay, x bar local minimum point of our problem P implies this optimality condition, which can be written this way, okay? Which is somehow, can be told in a more fashionable way. There is no descent direction for x in the tangent cone. Okay. Now, I want to use the linearizing cone. This is larger, but this is smaller. So, if this is true for every, if this is true in the tangent cone, this must be true also in this linearizing set. Okay? Because it is a subset. If there is no direction in the tangent cone, there cannot be any direction in this linearizing set that is a descent direction. Okay? So here we have not an equivalence, but an implication. There exists no direction D in the linearizing cone to lesser equal, such that the direction is a descent direction for us. Okay. Please notice, I'm not saying that the two are equivalent. Okay? I replace the tangent cone with something which is smaller. Okay? So I'm getting a necessary condition. But we started with a necessary condition, so the flow here goes. Minimum point implies this, which is equivalent to this, which implies this. Okay? So this is a necessary optimality condition as well. Okay? And now, I have an explicit description of this set, of this code. Okay? So, this can be written equivalently in another way. There exists no D in Rn such that it is at the same direction for the objective function, and it is at the same direction for all the active constraints. Okay, this writing here means D belongs to this set, to this cone. Okay. But now I don't have any more cones, I just have functions. Okay. I'm saying that this system of inequalities, of strict inequality, has no solution. Okay. This is what is written here. There exists no D in Rn such that it solves this system. Okay? And notice, I will circle it in. That this system, since all these gradients are fixed vector, is a system of linear inequalities. Okay? Because it's constant vector, the gradients are given, times direction. So the partial derivatives here are the coefficients of the inequalities. Okay? So I have turned my optimality condition into the impossibility of a system of linear inequalities. Okay? Notice here I had to pay a price. Okay? The price is here. This is not an equivalent. Okay? Here I'm weakening a little bit the optimality condition. Okay? This is necessary. This is necessary as well. But if this is true, but not necessarily vice versa. Okay? You did this. Nice. But what are you going to do with this? Okay, I mean, first you have a condition which was telling you something about the scalar product with all directions in a particular form. Now you are telling me that this other condition is the impossibility of a linear system. Okay? How can I check whether a system is impossible or not? Okay? Well, linear algebra comes into help. Okay? There are theorems in linear algebra which tell you that a linear system of inequalities has no solution if and only if another system based on the same data has a solution. Okay? The ones of you who took an operational research course, okay, or let's say, any course which includes linear programming, I've seen an example of this, okay, which is Farkas' lemma. Okay, and it was exactly the same. The impossibility of a system paired with the solvability of another system. Okay, these are known as theorems of the alternative. Okay. Which can be proved with basic linear algebra tools, or can be proved with more advanced tools, okay, but are pretty old. And the one I'm going to use is one of the most general for linear inequalities. I'm not giving you the full formulation. It's due to Moxkin, and it goes back to, I think, 1936. And it states the following. Okay, let's have some data. Okay, we have some vectors. Let's say AA are vectors in Rn, and also BL are vectors in Rn. Okay. K belongs to an index set, L belongs to another index set. Both of them are finite index sets. Okay. Finite index set. So, just not to give them numbers. K goes from 1 to some M. L goes to from 1 to some S. Okay? And the theorem states the following. Take this system. I want to find some vector D such that A times D less or equal than 0 for all K and BL times D less or equal than 0 for all L is 0. Okay. This is the system I'm considering. Okay. There's one assumption I forgot. Your system of inequalities must have three inequalities. Okay? There, this may be not here. This index set may be empty, so you may have no less or equal inequalities, but you need to have strict inequalities. You can have both, but you need at least strict inequalities. The theorem states that this system has no solution. So this system is impossible if and only, okay, another system has a solution. Okay. Notice that now I will give you the system. Notice that our optimality condition falls within this scheme. Okay. You don't have less or equal inequalities, but you have strict inequalities. You have here a list of strict inequalities. Okay. So we can apply this theorem. Okay. And the theorem says the following. The impossibility of this system is equivalent to the solvability of this system. And this system is the sum
all over caves of theta k, a k plus the sum all over L of
equals 0, where theta k and vl are numbers, are non-negative numbers. Solution such that theta k is different from 0 for at least 1 k. So the impossibility of this linear inequalities turns into the existence of some non-negative coefficients such that the linear combination of these vectors is zero. Okay? And at least one of these coefficients here has to be non-zero. Okay? We can really apply this to our situation, okay? Because we don't have less or equal inequalities, which in this notation means that this does not exist, okay? Because the set is not this. Set of index is empty. But so we are saying this system has no solution if and only if there is a linear combination with no negative coefficients of these vectors, which is zero. Okay? And the coefficient can't be all zero. At least one of them must be different from zero. Otherwise, this is silly if you can take theta k equals zero. Okay? And so we can apply to our situation. What are our vectors AKs? Our vectors AKs are the gradient of F and the gradient of GI. So if we apply the Motzkin theorem here, we say, okay, that blue box is equivalent. Then it will no. Okay. It's equivalent to what? Okay, so allow me to, sorry for doing this. I just switch the name from theta I go to lambda. But it's just a name. So, what am I having? So here, there exists let me say lambda 0 which corresponds to F. Lambda I all greater or equal than 0. Not all 0. such that
lambda at 0 times the gradient of f at x bar plus the sum over all I of lambda I the gradient of gi is the 0 vector.
So now you have the full path. Optimality, necessary optimality condition with the tangent cone. You turn this condition in an equivalent impossibility of a system, but here you have a tangent cone. You replace the tangent cone with a subset, so you get here. This, since you have a description of this set, is the impossibility of this linear system. Then you use Mofsky's theorem of the alternative and you get this optimality condition here. Okay? Necessary optimality condition. What is the news here? What is novel here? You just have functions. You have f, and you have gi, which are the functions which describe the constraints. Okay? What do you have more? The existence of some non-negative coefficients, such that this quantity is non-zero. Okay? So, this is just trying to solve a system. Okay? So, to check whether a point x bar is a minimum point, the necessary condition is trying to solve this. Okay? And this is a system of equations, because these are vectors, huh? Remember. The gradients are vectors, so, and these are coefficients, so you are summing vectors. And this is the zero vector. So you turn your optimality conditions into a system of equations. And it is a system of nonlinear equations, because if you change x, the gradients change, and they don't change linearly, generally. Okay?
There are also conditions greater than meter or equal than
t. Yes, you're right. Yeah, I mean, you are completely right. I tricked you a little bit, because it's a system of nonlinear equations plus the fact that some variables that solve the system must be non-negative, and this is the main issue. Okay? Otherwise, I could simply tell you, okay, Professor Bevilacqua taught you some methods for solving nonlinear equations, so use them, okay? So that is the difficult point. So thank you very much for pointing it out. Okay. This theorem is given in a different way, because it's not very nice to make the sum over a set of indexes that changes with the point. Okay? Here I would like to sum all the constraints. Okay? So the idea is simply, okay, I'll add zero to the other ones. Okay? And how do I add zero? Okay? So if I want to make this in this form, lambda zero gradient of f plus the sum all over the whole set of constraints of this quantity. Okay. And I want lambda I, to be zero if, so if I write it in terms, I want lambda I to be zero if I is not an active system. Okay? The trick is the following. You write, this condition. Lambda I times GI X bar is equal to zero. Okay? If GI at X bar is not zero, then lambda I must be zero. Okay? So you can put here the sum all over the constraints, adding these conditions here. And these are other M conditions. Okay? So I can summarize, so this is exactly the same you have here, okay? With a trick. These are known as the Prince John necessary optimality condition. If X bar is a feasible point which is a local minimum point of our optimization problem, then there exists lambda 0, lambda I greater or equal than 0, noble 0, such that these conditions are true. Okay, so now I turn them into. There's something which is not very nice in this optimality condition. Yes? No, se G E di segnato zero, no?
Ah, ok.
So, if this is zero, this can be any. If this is not zero, it means I does not belong here, then this is not zero, this must be zero because the product is zero. Okay? It's a trick. Okay? It's a trick to put the whole sum here. The point is the following. When you try to solve optimality condition, okay, which thanks to his remark is a system of nonlinear equality plus non-negative constraints on some variables, you don't know which constraints are active or not at the current point, for instance, in an iterative method. So this is the trick to write it. Okay? I was saying there's something which is not satisfactory here. Okay? And clearly that this coefficient must be not all zero is obvious, otherwise you put zero everywhere and these are satisfied. Okay. But what if this one is zero? The coefficient that multiplies the gradient of the objective function. See the optimality condition, if this is zero, the objective function, the function you want to minimize, does not appear in the optimality conditions. Come on, you are saying something silly. You have optimality conditions for a problem and you don't have the function you want to minimize. That sounds bad. Okay. So these optimality conditions are not entirely satisfactory. Okay. Because you would like that the coefficient who is not zero, who is certainly not zero, is this one. Okay? But if you follow all our arguments, and you exploit this theorem of the alternative, there is no way you can guarantee it. Okay?
Okay, let's do first let's face it the simple way. Suppose it is zero. Okay. What are you left with? You're left with the following thing. The sum of lambda I's radius of d I at x bar is 1. And since lambda 0 is 0, these are not all 0. It means that these gradients are linearly dependent. Okay. So, one way to guarantee that lambda 0 is different from 0 is to add this assumption. That is, the gradients of the constraining functions, since we also have this, we can limit to consider active constraints, are linearly independent. Because if they are linearly independent, this cannot happen, and lambda 0 has to be different from 0. So if you add this assumption, you get what are known as the KKT optimality condition, which stands for Kerrush, Kuhn, Tucker optimality condition, which read almost the same as there, such with the addition of an extra assumption. Let capital X, let X bar be feasible, and suppose that the gradient of the GI at X bar, for all I's which are active constraints, are a set of linear independent vectors. Then, if x bar is a local minimum point of our optimization problem, then there exists lambda I greater or equal than 0, such that, and you get, okay, if lambda 0 is different from 0, so you divide by lambda 0, and here you can put 1. Okay, so, such that the gradient of F at X bar plus the sum of the lambda I to the gradient of the GI is 0. Plus the condition we already have. Notice that here I do not have to state that these are not all zero, because the theorem is the same you have here, but the one which is surely not zero is this one, so they could all be zero.
Okay? Because you are doing the same theorem with an additional assumption which is telling you lambda 0 is not 0. Okay?
Okay. The system of inequalities is known as the Lagrange multiplier school. These conditions here are known, so these are for I equal minus n, are known as complementarity flatness. And this is known as the Lagrange multiplier rules because these coefficients here are called Lagrange multipliers.
Okay? A bit of history, why Lagrange? Because this stuff was known to Lagrange at the end of the 18th century. Okay. He considered the case of equality constraints, okay. But the shape, the form of the condition is exactly the same. It was somehow forgotten. It was part of a basic textbook in calculus. And then it was somehow rediscovered at the end of the 30s by Perush, okay, Master of Science Thesis, okay, Thesis Lab. And then after the end of the 40s by Kuhn and Tucker, independently. Okay? But all goes back to the old idea by Lagrange. Okay? The approach I showed you is not the one of Lagrange, is not the one of Perush, is not the one of Kuhn-Tucker, it's a more recent way to get this result. Okay? Two more things. Okay. I showed you a way to turn geometry into algebra. Okay? There's this gap here. I have to add an assumption. Okay? Otherwise, I would get something interesting, but potentially useless if lambda 0 is 0. Okay? So I had to add this assumption. And notice, this assumption does not depend on the objective function. Depends only on the constraints. Okay? Indeed, this kind of assumption is called constraint qualification. Okay? So you can get Lagrange multiplier rule, which is nowadays also known as KKT conditions, if the constraints are qualified, if the constraints are good. Okay? What does this actually mean? This actually means something I will show you on Monday morning. Okay? This is true when the tangent zone is equal to the nearest intercept.
On Monday, I will try to show you exactly taking this scheme once again, that whenever it is true, you get it.
Okay? So, a constraint qualification is any condition here on the constraint such that this is true. Okay?
I wanted to do it today, but it is related once again to masking theorem of the theorem. So on Monday morning, I will rewrite this blackboard again. So I will give you a summary of this, and I will add the remarks which will tell you how to go from this to this.
Okay.
And the key points are constraint qualifications. Okay. So the KKT condition, the Lagrange multipliers rule, requires that the constraints are good. Roughly speaking, requires that you can perfectly move from geometry to algebra. Okay? So it means this equal here means there is no gap between geometry and algebra. Okay? And if there is no gap, you have a nice system of equalities and inequalities. Okay, so this is the plan for Monday.